Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. And Roger, even as I read that typical introduction, I think it's important to let our audience know we are going to make a little bit of a pivot in the month of September. This is a busy month for many of us, you and I included. And so rather than the typical format for the next few weeks, what we're actually going to do is tie a special series to some of our Bible classes.
Yeah, Bible classes are very important, and we just like to build bridges to all the things we're doing. They're not really independent lanes that we travel on, but one thing oftentimes leads to the other thing, and it helps by repeating things back and forth, and that's kind of like several things we do here. And September is a time when, you know, we think about the fall, we think about school being back in session, whether it's at home or in the school building. We kind of end all of our vacations, and things just kind of start wrapping up as we think about the year. But what we want to do as we look in the month of September, we want to start by talking about the subject of salvation. And this is part of our theme for this month and one of our series we have in our Bible classes. And what we want to do is each Wednesday, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about different aspects of salvation. This is something that is very important in the Bible, should be very important to us as well.
Our theme as a church family in 2021 has been rise and build. And one of the ways that we have tried to accommodate that and facilitate that in the lives of young and old is a series of studies that we've called building blocks. And of course, if you're a member of our church family, hopefully you are very familiar with that. But even if you are listening from a long ways away, the bulk of that material is freely available at charlestownroad.org. The way that we've structured it this year is every month we ask a fundamental question. And in September, that is arguably the most important question of all. What is salvation? And so on Sundays throughout the month of September, we're just looking at key words related to salvation, redemption, reconciliation, sanctification, transformation. On Wednesdays, we're going to be looking at great stories of salvation. The Israelites at the Red Sea, the prodigal son, Jesus healing a leper, the example of Saul of Tarsus. All of that, Lord willing, kicks off this coming Sunday, September the 5th. If you are a member of our Charlestown Road Church family and you have children in our Bible classes, we very much hope that you will be plugged into that and study that with us as a family. But Roger, as you mentioned, one of our favorite things to do is to look at this wide stream, this river, really, of quality Bible content that so many are producing in the life of our church family. Just highlight it and periodically bounce off of it. September is a great time to dig into what is salvation.
Yeah, and before we jump in there, let me just kind of go back to something Jason just said. All of these little themes are on our website. And they are powerful tools to sit down with a family member, a friend that's not a Christian. It starts with, who's God? Who's Jesus? What about the Bible? Church, just common fundamental building blocks, as we say. And that would be a great way just to sit down with somebody, watch the video with them, then talk about it. And it would help them through this matter. So we remind ourselves in Luke 19, verse 10, that our Lord says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And if you were to ask somebody who's spent a lot of time in the Bible, what's the Bible all about? What's the theme of the book? It's about salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible's all about. It's not how to save money. It's not how to be a good neighbor. It's not how to have a good attitude. The number one theme is salvation in Jesus Christ. And so as we kind of take off the runway and start a 32,000-foot view of this concept of salvation, let's begin by asking the question, why? Why is there so much emphasis upon salvation?
Yeah. One of the verses that has come to mean a great deal to me when I think about Jesus is Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. It's just a passing reference in a statement of Peter and the rest of the apostles. We're probably more familiar with their statement in Acts 5:29, just a few verses before that, where they stand before some Jewish authorities who are telling them to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. And they say in verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. But in the next couple of verses, what they develop is the idea that the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And I want you to listen especially to verse 31. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. When these men wanted to describe in just a couple of words what Jesus is now, who Jesus is now, what he is willing to do in our lives now that he's given his life as the Lamb of God and been raised from the dead, how ought I to think of Jesus? Well, here it is in Acts 5:31. He is the leader and savior. Now, that's powerful because I need both, right? I need not only Jesus to save me, and we'll talk more about that over the next few minutes, but I need a leader just as surely as I need a savior. And the reason that I bring that up is, okay, if Jesus is my leader and he came, according to Luke 19, verse 10, to seek and to save the lost, my leader is defining the mission. It's not up to me to describe in my own words what Jesus did, what he was all about. He has told us in Luke 19:10, the reason that I came was to seek and to save the lost. We'll see over the course of the next few minutes and probably the next few weeks how that mission was handed on to us. But if I turn Jesus into something other than what he himself described himself as, if I paint him as a Jesus of my own making, well, I'm certainly not following his lead, and I'm not leaning on him as my savior. We need to listen to what he himself said.
And what that passage brings out is the great emphasis there. Why, you know, why is there so much emphasis? Why is there so many prophecies about Jesus dying for our sins? Why does the apostles write about that, preach about that over and over and over again? Because that is the greatest concern. And we're going to talk about what we're saved from in just a minute. But it's not solving cancer, as serious as that is. That's not our greatest concern. It's not having world politics all ironed out, getting rid of terrorists. That's not the greatest concern. It's not the economy. I mean, all these things are just superficial things to a much serious, much greater problem, and that's the salvation of our souls. And so that's why there's so much emphasis. Jesus came down here and he told us how to save the environment. Great. What good is that if our souls are not saved? If he told us how to get along as neighbors, but we did not save our souls, what good is that? The major emphasis points to the greatest problem we have, and that's salvation. So when we talk about being saved, being rescued, we might say, you know, somebody goes into work and says, man, my neighbor rescued me yesterday. And your first question would be, from what?
Yeah.
From a burning house, from a car accident, from a flood. We are rescued from something. So Jesus came to save us from what?
Again, you cannot improve on God-breathed scripture. So I would lean on Acts 2, verse 40, where the Holy Spirit leads Peter and the rest of the apostles to say, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And okay, well, I live in the midst of a crooked generation. What has made my generation crooked? Just a few verses before this, he talks about repenting, turning from something, and being baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your... What do I need to turn away from? What has made this generation, what has made my own life crooked? It is sin. In fact, Roger, in our building blocks, of course, one of the things that we try and do is make these big ideas easy enough for even children to understand. And so we'll talk, Lord willing, this month at very young ages about what the word iniquity literally means. All that it means is something that's good, straight, healthy, right, and I bend it, I twist it, I make it crooked. Sin breaks us, it bends us, it twists our relationships. And the greatest relationship of all, of course, that is damaged by sin is my relationship with God.
So that leads to another question, and this we haven't talked about this one, but I wanted to ask it
to
you.
No, please.
So who determines what sin is? I don't like Brussels sprouts. Do not like them. Don't like them at all. So because I don't like Brussels sprouts, that's sin. Is that right?
It is so important. I think this is a great just drilling down even deeper, and I'm glad that you brought it up because we live in an era where popular culture wants to define what's out of bounds. Politicians want to define what's out of bounds. Even perhaps within the context of our own households, we'll grow up being told that's wrong. And then when we begin to think for ourselves and look around and we ask, well, why? We need an authority. We need an objective standard. You mentioned that all of these past building blocks are freely available on our website. You carried a big load in the month of August, and you had a 10-part series where you asked, what's the big deal with authority? And you pointed us over and over and over again to God as the ultimate authority. God is the one who determines what is right and what is wrong.
That's it. That's it. So that leads to this other question. So much emphasis in the Bible about salvation, Jesus being the Savior. We see we're saved from sin. Why do I need a Savior?
Yeah. Well, that is exactly what those people in Acts chapter 2 were wrestling with, right? Peter leads them through a variety of Old Testament passages, concluding with, you need to know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And that prompts from them this most important of questions. Brothers, what shall we do? Behind that question is the recognition of, oh no, we are in the wrong. I am in the wrong. I cannot go back in time and undo this or make it right. I need someone to intervene on my behalf. And of course, that is the good news that Peter proclaims in Acts 2:38. In the name of Jesus Christ. We're not talking simply about a historical figure here. We are talking about the one who gave himself as a lamb provided by God for my sins. We're talking about someone who is no longer in the grave, but is now at the right hand of God. We're talking about someone who is willing to be our leader. And so in the name of Jesus, turn from sin. In the name of Jesus, be buried with him in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I need a Savior because only Jesus can answer and atone for my biggest problem.
Romans 3 says it this way, there is none righteous, not one, or not even one. And so that goes from the president, the prime ministers, that goes to athletes, that goes to the bum on the bench, that goes to the college professor, that goes to the college student, it goes to every single person. In chapter 3 again, in verse 23, the apostle would say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no exceptions to that. And so when we think about, I need a Savior, you need a Savior, we all need Jesus, that's the reason. Because without Jesus, we cannot save ourselves. And that's, again, the driving point of the Bible. That is the theme of the Bible, salvation in Jesus Christ. And so that leads to another question. How does one know he's saved? Okay, I need Jesus, so I say the name Jesus and I'm saved, I guess. So how do I know?
Yeah, I would lean on Acts 16, another great story of salvation with that Philippian jailer who is at the point of just utter despair, and Paul and Silas get his attention in the rubble of this jail, and he falls down before them and says, sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer in Acts 16:31 and the next few verses is so profound in answering that question. How can I know that I've been saved? Just listen. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his household. How can I know that I'm saved? Well, have I listened to the word of the Lord Jesus? Have I done what the Lord Jesus tells me to do? Only when I do what I am told to do by the leader and Savior can I know that that Savior has saved me.
And I like what John says in 1 John 5:13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. One of the things we read about in the book of 1 John is doing what God says. It's about obeying him, walking with God. And so salvation is not a feeling. You don't wake up one day and say, hey, you know, I kind of like, feel like I'm loved. I feel like I'm saved. I feel hungry. It's not a feeling. It's a relationship. It's a relationship based upon faith and choices and God's grace. And again, how contrary that is to what so many people believe today. And it's just that kind of a flippant attitude that I'm saved. And the reason why I said that, because I just said the name Jesus and that's all it takes. That's not what you read about in the Bible. And we need to see how important that is. Which leads to one other question. And again, it's kind of feeling based, but so many people are there today. A lot of brethren are there today too. I just don't feel like I'm saved. And how would you answer that?
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up 1 John, knowing. And for the person who is struggling with that confidence, how can I know? I don't feel. 1 John, it is only 5 chapters, but is such a powerful letter to read in that moment. I'll read just a couple verses from 1 John chapter 3 that certainly helped me. Beginning in verse 19, John says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. It is so important that I come to see as God sees. If God tells me what to do to be saved and I do it and I am walking in the light as he is in the light, I can know what God has told me to be true because, once again, he is the ultimate authority. His son is my leader and savior. If you're struggling with that confidence today, 1 John chapter 1 would be worth reading sometime this week.
I think sometimes people feel that way and say those things because they have a cloud over their head. And they have this concept that if I'm saved, why aren't things working out? But when you walk through the New Testament and you read about the disciples of Jesus, friends died, they were in prison, they were shipwrecked, they had rocks thrown at them, yet they were saved. And so not every day is going to be sunny. Not every day everybody's going to like you. Not every day is going to be an easy day. Not every day you're going to be popular. But you can know you're saved because of what the Bible teaches. And you walk in that direction. That's what the emphasis is.
What is salvation? Roger, you and I in this 20-minute episode have just scratched the surface. We want you to know how excited we are to study this with all ages beginning this coming Sunday, September the 5th. If you're studying from a distance, it will be freely available at charlestownroad.org. There will be a video and a handout just for kids. Here in the context of our church family, we start at first grade on this track of studies and then all the way up through adults. We've got about 10 different teachers that are going to be walking through the month of September with all ages. What is salvation? We hope that you will take full advantage of this exciting, practical series. Roger, speaking of exciting series, we've got one more lesson in what has just been a phenomenal Wednesday evening summer series tonight.
We have, going all the way back to July 7th, we started this series bringing in different preachers every Wednesday night. Our theme was the hymn, How Firm a Foundation. And every one of these guys have just hit it out of the park. Just amazing lessons. We would encourage you to go back and listen to. We end tonight with that phrase from that song, How Firm a Foundation, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no, never forsake. And we're going to have our guest speaker from Dallas, Texas. It happens to be my son, Jordan. And Jordan was a part of this congregation. He trained here for a while and just near and dear, especially to my heart. And he will be ending this series for us. But we encourage you to come and be with us at 7 o'clock tonight.
We would love to see you. We're looking forward, of course, to this coming Sunday. We've talked about building blocks. I've got the privilege of preaching at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. And Lord willing, I'm going to bounce off of a recent section of our daily Bible reading. We've gone back to the book of Genesis on Mondays and Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays as a portion of our reading. And I was struck as I was reading the other day about when you place Genesis 11 and Genesis 12 side by side. Really, you've got two basic ways of looking at life and the world and what we are to be building. I think that it will be a great supplement to what we've been focused on as a church family. Rise and build. We'll lean on Genesis 11 and Genesis chapter 12 and do our best to make that as practical and encouraging, thought-provoking as possible. Roger, there's a whole lot to be thankful for and to look forward to in the life of our church family. I appreciate you joining me today. We appreciate all of you listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We can't wait for this evening, 7 o'clock p.m. We're looking forward already to Sunday, the best day of the week. Resources abound to help us all grow, and we hope that you will continue to grow right along with us.